We pray, Lord, now that as we gather together on this special service tonight, Lord, as we in this brief time together focus on being thankful, Lord, we pray that tonight, tomorrow, and frankly for the rest of our lives, we would be different. And that can happen by a decision we make tonight as people, right here, right now. And that is to be thankful. It is a discipline. It's a decision. It is the way we look at things. And Father, that tonight we as a people should be more thankful than anybody on earth. We could all point at the things that are wrong and things that are askew in this nation. And maybe we'd even be right. But we would be wrong if we didn't praise you. We are here tonight. We think of our brother, for example, Pastor Saeed in prison in Iran. We think of those who are around the world, some hundreds of thousands of those who are being persecuted for the name of Jesus. We think of those, Lord, who as we approach the end of this year, the estimation is nearly 300,000 in 2013 who have been sacrificed as martyrs for the gospel of Jesus in the world this year. And no doubt they're thankful as they are before your throne. So, Lord, remind us to be a thankful people. And so, God, speak to us out of your word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you guys see the sunrise this morning? Anybody? I'm thankful for that. That was awesome. And I went to a nursery today. I had time around lunch, went to a nursery. And I was looking for some plants, and I didn't see the plants that I needed to get. But you know what? I even got it on my camera. Was a bunch of monarch butterflies flying around this nursery. And I was thankful for that. Knowing that we'd be together tonight, I was thinking about how it's going to be a message with the family together. The kids are in here tonight. And I'm thankful for that. But tonight I want you to look at a portion of scripture very briefly as we are having an abbreviated service tonight. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, it is an awesome event. It actually happened. It's a real situation that unfolded. And it's quite remarkable. Luke chapter 17 begins at verse 11. It says, "Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Number one, Bible students, a Jew doesn't do that. A Jew doesn't pass through Samaria. It's off limits. No Jew goes through Samaria. It's the land of the half-breeds. They are antagonists to the worship in Jerusalem and to the Jewish people. They have a whole different worship system, but they're attempting to worship God. And it's a long story, but Jesus, listen, every Jew would have avoided the area of Samaria. Not Jesus. Jesus goes right through it, and that would have caused a scandal. That would have caused a controversy. What's he doing? Why is he doing this? But listen, the story, the plot thickens. Then as he entered a certain village, verse 12, there met him 10 men who were lepers. That's not supposed to happen either. Who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, and I'll talk about what they must have looked like, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, you got to love this guy, glorified God. And he fell down on his face. He didn't get hurt. He falls down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. This is not supposed to happen. So Jesus answered, verse 17, and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?" It kind of tells you that there's a mixed group of the 10. Jesus says, or is implying, out of the 10, this guy's a Samaritan that has come back and said, "Thank you." Were the nine Jewish? Were the nine from the Lebanon region? Were they Syrian? Were they Jordanian in culture? Who are these people? Who are the nine? We don't know who the nine are. And frankly, we don't care who the nine are. They're not key to the story. One guy is key to the story. And I think you know the reason why he was key to the story. It goes on. They're verse 19. And he, Jesus, said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Well, wait a minute. What did he do? What did this guy do? Watch this, everybody. The guy has leprosy. That means he looks pretty freaky looking. Leprosy, it means that the tips of his fingers, it depends on how advanced the leprosy was. But the leprosy, if he's well advanced, and knowing the way Jesus works, this guy, the whole 10, that's probably why they're hanging out. They've got nobody else. They cannot associate with their families. They cannot be around in the culture. They're barred from being near people. And in fact, they have to call out whenever someone's near, "Unclean, unclean," because no one could get near them. And it was required of them to shout that out. And so as they see Jesus, first of all, that's got to be a shock. There's this one coming, and he's not afraid of them. He's not afraid of the 10. Jesus is just walking. And I bet you he stood out. Now, we know from Scripture that Jesus was not, according to Isaiah 52, 53, that Jesus was not physically outstanding. The Bible says that there's no form or comeliness or beauty in his physical appearance that we would desire him. You wouldn't have picked Jesus out of the crowd. Did you know that? I know that we see pictures and paintings of Jesus walking in the Rembrandt, and there's a glow over his head, and he's walking. That didn't happen. He looked very common, but this one is walking toward who? 10 lepers in the land of Samaria. And Jesus' robes would have clearly been an announcement that he's Jewish. So this whole story is awesome. Jesus, look at me, technically is not in the place where he's supposed to be, like he cares about rules. Jesus is on mission regarding this healing. He knows what's coming. And as he's going, they cry out, "Have mercy on us, Jesus. Master, have mercy." They honor Jesus in their words. His announcement is simply radical. "Go and pronounce yourself to the priest." Now, this is amazing because scholars will argue, would they have gone to the priesthood that was set up by man in Samaria? Because they had a different worship system. Or would they have gone to Jerusalem? We don't know for sure. Personally, I think they would have gone to Jerusalem knowing that the one that just touched them is none other than Jesus, the master, the great teacher. So Jesus pronounces this, and as they go, church, mark this down, as they went. Now, you could have been in that crowd. You could have been one of those lepers. Your fingertips are eaten off, or they're decayed. They're white. They kind of look like dust. Kind of look like, and it kind of, in a sense, acts like chalk. Nose. Some noses were completely gone on lepers. Feet, extremities, gone. Depending upon how advanced it was. They had to shroud themselves in a veil, in wrappings. And they lived by begging. They lived by scouring through at night the refuge of the city, the waste. Completely unclean. As they went, they were healed. Jesus said, "Go." All he said to them was, "Go and present yourself to the priest." This is a lot of faith, you guys. When God tells you to do something, it's really good that you actually act in obedience and you see what he does. What do you have to lose? Think about it. Listen, all of them went, and that's commendable. They all went. Let's go. They all got healed. It's a great story. If it ended there, it's a great story. One of them, as he goes, he gets healed. This is fun. You know what it means? First of all, even though Jesus said, "Go to the priest and present yourself," that's exactly what in the law of Moses that God had said, in the day that the leper is cleansed, there'll be an offering, needs to go. But watch this. They're all going. Can you imagine all 10 of them? And as they go, and maybe they're talking. And all of a sudden, hey, man, look at your, those are nice fingernails you have there. Well, look at that. Can you imagine? As they went, they were healed. What would that have been like? Can I encourage you tonight that as you go in faith, whatever you do tonight and everything else, tomorrow, Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, if you go in faith, if you be thinking, you know what, in the midst of all that's going on in life, I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. Have we not woken up to the realization that there's no faith to be put in any human system anymore? You guys, the city came to my house yesterday and knocked on my door and said, man, we're so sorry. We've got an emergency issue going on. We got to cut your water off. We got to tear up the street. And it's only going to affect your house. No, I'm serious. Only your house. The way the street turns, it was in the morning. I had not showered yet. And he said, you got about an hour to do that. I go, okay, I'm on it. So I went and did that. And they didn't dig a hole. They got a call. They went away somewhere. And I've been gone all day today. And while I was gone, this is now over 24 hours later. Now they dig the hole and now they fix it. You think about this for a moment. I know that this is difficulties in life and things happen and nothing's perfect. But can you imagine if I would have been thinking, oh, they're gonna cut our water off in an hour. They didn't cut it off for about 28 hours later. Man says something and man can make the biggest promises and mean it completely. But we have no power to fulfill a promise. Did you know that? It's not good for us to make promises. Well, I belong to the promise keepers. That's cool. Just remember this. There's only one that can keep a promise, and his name's Jesus. We may have great intentions. I promise I will end on time. I promise. Yeah, right. Listen, we try, we fail. But when God says what God says, he will do. He will never come up short. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. And all of life's storms and difficulties, he can be trusted. But listen, you may say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Then you know what? You're just going to be frustrated. Because God blesses obedience. And what he's asking you to do is just obey his command. For example, he says, love me with all of your heart. And we want to sit around and figure out, let's analyze that for a moment. Just do it. When Jesus says, come and follow me. Well, what does the word follow actually mean? Just do it. And Jesus tells them, go present yourself to the priest. As they go, they get healed. 10 of them walking. Clearly, they recognize something's happened because one guy says, I'll catch up to you guys. Isn't this sweet? He doesn't even get to the priest. He doesn't even get to the temple. He's got a priority that should be our priority tonight, tomorrow, and forever. He stops and he turns around and he goes back to Jesus. And what does he say? He says, thank you. There's nothing like the sight of someone being appreciative and thankful. And let's be honest. If you say to your kids or to your husband or to your wife, you know, can you say thank you? I mean, honestly, really? That's cold, man. I mean, it's not cold that you got to ask. It's cold if they respond. It's sad you got to ask. What's worse is that they respond, oh yeah, thank you. Isn't it a totally different thing when someone just says, thank you. Oh my goodness, thank you. What does that do to you? It absolutely floats your heart. Jesus is saying, wait a minute, this is cool, this is great. I'm so glad that you're thankful, but wasn't there 10 of you? And church, this is what we must nurture. Let's make sure. Now, how many of you are going to go be with family tomorrow? Raise your hand. You're going to go hang out with family? Oh, my goodness. How many of you have, do you know if you have family that may not be Christian? Raise your hands. It's kind of tough if they're sitting next to you right now in church, huh? You don't want to. How about this tomorrow? In your act of obedience to the Lord, be thankful tomorrow. And you don't have to be obnoxious about it. Just let people know. Hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for, and just whatever it is. Because tomorrow, you guys, I love saying what I'm about to say. It really drives some people crazy. There's no getting around it. I'm fully aware that our holidays, that's what you can call Halloween, our decorations in this nation of ours goes from Halloween to Christmas. Have you noticed that? It's boo with the face and then boo with the expense of Christmas. It's these pumpkin heads to Santa stuff, right? The greatest American holy day in the history of our nation is tomorrow. And this is what's fun about it. It is 100% uniquely Christian. Christian. The school district in my area, I think someone told me yesterday that the kids have the week off. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in public school, we got Thursday and Friday off. Now they got the week off. It doesn't matter if it was one day or the whole week off. Ask a kid, what do you have the week off for? They don't know. Listen, does America know? Does America know that tomorrow America should just bow its spoiled heart? I don't mean that in a nasty way. It's incredibly pampered, spoiled heart that we have been spoiled by the God of heaven. And to say thank you, it's purely Christian. Read the Mayflower Compact. Read George Washington's declaration about it. Read Abraham Lincoln's declaration about it. It's uniquely Christian. You can't spin it any other way. And it is a command to us to be obedient, to be thankful to God tomorrow. And I'm kind of offended by that. I'm kind of hurt by me, not you, by me. I'm kind of sad that, as Josiah mentioned, that the most declared command in Scripture is to praise or to worship or to give God thanks. I'm sorry that my God has got to encourage me to tell him thank you. I wish my heart would just fall down and thank him for everything. That I wouldn't have to be thinking about being thankful about the sunrise this morning because Thanksgiving is this week. But that I just thank him every day that I have a pillow, a bed, shoes. See, we only have 3 pairs of shoes. You listen, I don't care if you have no shoes. You've got feet that you wish had shoes on them. We could thank God for our feet. Well, my car broke down today. You can thank God that you have a car that can break down. Well, we pay too much in taxes. I agree, but we could go on and on. To nurture a heart of thankfulness. You guys, where are the 9? I hope the Lord doesn't look into my heart and ask me, hey, Jack, I blessed you 10 times today, but you didn't thank me for any of them but one. Or, Jack, I've poured out my spirit upon this church and the people, and I'm blessing and I'm pouring out my word. But I don't hear many thanks. Oh, I hope he doesn't have to think like that, right? We are so blessed. And I know that we have, we kind of have a system and a culture right now that's kind of like pointing on the negative stuff. But remember, you guys, we live in a country that God has blessed so much, more than any other country in the history of mankind. Okay? There's no doubt about it. That's what, by the way, American exceptionalism means. It doesn't mean that Americans think they're exceptional. That's not what it means. It means that God has spoiled America. He's blessed us beyond And we're still the only country in the world where people are trying to break into it. Think of that. People are trying to get in here. See, we lose track of that because we look at the issues and the problems on the front page of the newspaper and we get bummed out. But the fact of the matter is, look around the world. And people want to come here. Why? Because of our politics? Are you kidding? Because of our freeways? Because of what? Because they recognize God has done something. Now, but they might not know God. They may not believe in God. But they know, you know what? America is better there. It's better. But why is it better? Because our God is awesome. Our God has been good to us. Listen, as a nation, do we run the risk of forgetting God? Yeah, very much so. But look, you're still here. And tomorrow can be step two, which leads to 3, 4, and 5, because step one tonight is for you and I to determine, I will be thankful. Isn't that funny? Remember when your mom and dad used to grab you by the ear and say, you know, I don't know, I'm an old person, so my mom used to grab me by the ear and say, go over there and fix that thing. You broke it, you go fix it. Listen, if I could tonight, I'd like to grab you lovingly by the ear, and you could grab me by my ear, and we could covenant together from this time on. We're just going to be thankful. We're just going to be thankful. I couldn't get a parking spot. Be thankful. Whatever. Tonight before service, a couple of hours ago, Pastor Chris, who many of you know, if you've ever been sick, injured, hurt, in the hospital, confined to your home in sickness or whatever, you know who Pastor Chris is. And he and I were walking around this place tonight and just talking. And you know, when you see things going on in life and you see the fact that we see people dying of all ages here. We see things it'll rip your heart out. And yet the people that are suffering so much, they'll tell us, you know what, it could be so much worse. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, their situation is so bleak. And then they turn around and tell us, oh, you know what? It could be so much worse. You say, how do people think like that? Because God is where they're at. How is it, my friend, listen, please don't live your life alone, especially in suffering, when our God delights in meeting, in this case, the lepers. Jesus goes to an area where Jews don't go. Jesus speaks to a group of people who they, according to Judaism, are not allowed to speak to. And God throws all the regulations out the window because their condition meant more to him than man's traditions. And he does the same thing tonight. Do you have religion and all the traditions and all the stuff, but you don't have the personal Jesus that is seen here in Scripture? That you recognize and understand tonight. Oh my goodness. I'm like that Samaritan. I'm a foreigner to the things of God. I don't belong. And he's come to me. Thankful. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I'm thankful. Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. I'm thankful for me. Says the Bible, God's word. And I'm thankful. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Our emotions come back and say, I'm sure. Our emotions are most often wrong. God is in the midst of the issue. And so we give thanks to him. It is exactly the same thing as hearing his word. You read it, you hear it. They heard it, you can read it. And then we get up and we start to walk in obedience to it. Amen? We start to do that. And as you go, listen, this is fun. I think this is exciting. As you go, be expecting God to heal that situation. You are walking now in His command. You're obeying Him. God will always bless obedience. Always. And as you're going, watch what happens. It's going to happen. God will bless obedience. And as you walk, He'll do that. Could be tonight. Could be next week. Could be next year. It's His business. But we're to obey Him. And that will revolutionize our life because we will start to see Him in everything. I will be thankful in everything. So I end with this. Being a grandparent is getting cooler by the day. Why? Because my eyes are bigger now. It's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? I mean, you get older. You don't have the energy. I wish I had the energy. To do what? To play with the grandkids. Not to do anything else. I could care less now about everything else. But as you see them, as you hear them, and the things that come out of their mouth, today our granddaughters, this gentleman had this little dog, and she said, "Hi, doggy." And he said something like, "Huh, you know, say hi, puppy," or whatever it was. And he said to us, "Happy Thanksgiving." And she said to him, "Happy Thanksgiving, brother." We went. She's three. We don't even talk like that. Where'd she get that from? But the whole thing. And then I saw a picture of my grandson the other day. I don't know what his thing is, but he likes to go like this. He kind of looks like he's about to find a new country or something. Where do they get this stuff? To you, it doesn't matter. Because they're not your grandkids. I understand that. But to me, it's everything. And as a grandparent, it's so cool because they can have snot running down their nose. They could be disheveled or whatever. And aren't they just beautiful, period? You know, yes. It doesn't matter. And when they say, "Pop, I have poopies in my pants," you just go, "That's cool." But the whole thing is, it doesn't matter. Now, parents, they're all really tightly wound, and I used to be one. And, you know, it's like, "Don't do that. Don't do what?" "No, this is different. But you want candy? You can have all the candy you want." Listen, God looks at you tonight, and he says, "You know, why are you hurting so much? Why are you doing this? What's going on with you? I love you. I want you to get up right now, and I want you to go." And listen, He knows something you don't know. In the very trial that you're in, as you go, look for the healing. Maybe tonight you don't have your heart's not healed of regret and pain and sorrow and sin and bitterness and all that stuff. And Jesus says to you tonight, "What are you doing? Why don't you get up and why don't you go?" And I'm going to give you that opportunity tonight as we end this now. Tomorrow you're going to either eat a lot of food and watch football and that's it. Or tomorrow you're going to watch football and you're going to eat. And in the midst of all that, you can just stop through every other minute of the day and say, "God, thank you. Thank you so much for this noise. Oh, my family's going to argue. You know, God, thank you for the noise. And thank you that we have this. Thank you that I'm able to swallow. Thank you that we're able to..." Are you with me? Do you understand that? Father, we come to you tonight and we are so grateful ultimately to thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Redeemer, our Master. Is not your word to us, "Go and present yourself to the priest"? Someday we will present ourselves to the priest, the one and only priest, the great high priest, Jesus. Thank you that leprosy was viewed as a type or picture of sin. No one's ever healed of leprosy. You have to be cleansed of leprosy. No one's ever healed of sin. You have to be cleansed of sin. And tonight, my friend, whoever you are, wherever you may be right now, you can ask Jesus Christ to cleanse you of your sin. You're forbidden, as it were. You are wrapped in condemned clothing. There's no hope for you. The world cannot, the government can't help you. Money can't save you. Nothing can help you but God Almighty only. And have you come to that point where you say tonight, Jesus, I'm asking you now to forgive me of my sins based upon your cross, Jesus, what you did for me at the cross. And tonight, maybe you're saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life, wash me clean, for I proclaim tonight, Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my resurrected King. Maybe tonight you're saying, I'm giving up my religion, I'm giving up my atheism, I'm giving up my self-reliance, I'm giving up my independence. I'm coming to know personally Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And my dear friend, tonight, if you're willing to do that, you will find yourself as you go tonight cleansed by the power and by the Word of God. So right where you're at right now, why don't you pray this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, come to me now. I proclaim you my master. I proclaim you my king and my God. I put my trust in you and I ask you to cleanse me, to make me your own. I give you my life. I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen.